This time a year ago, he was interviewing for the Cardinals head coaching job. Now, he has interviewed for their offensive coordinator's position. No decision has been made. He's not employed right now. An odd time for John DeFilippo as we try to figure out what's next for the Cardinals in assembling their coaching staff. And joining us right now, somebody with a little insight on what happened in Minneapolis with the Vikings when it comes to DeFilippo, Mike Zimmer, and the Vikings. Joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, ESPN Vikings reporter Courtney Cronin here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Courtney, I'm Dave. This is Gambo. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thanks for coming on with us for a few minutes. From your perspective, what exactly happened in Week 14 between Mike Zimmer and John DeFilippo that caused him to be unemployed?
Well, I think the Seattle game, everything kind of just came to a head. Really bad performance by the Vikings offense. That's Kirk Cousins. I mean, when you're leaving Adam Thielen wide open downfield because you're turning around to throw a ball 2 yards behind you to Latavius Murray, that's not play calling. That's the quarterback. So I think that you know, on top of kind of the meshing of, they're trying to mesh offensive philosophies and they're not really seeing eye to eye. I mean, Mike Zimmer started publicly critiquing the offense really around Week 7 when they go to New York and put up 37 points on the road to the Jets. And so he's saying they're not running the ball more. So Zimmer wanted to be more balanced. DeFilippo was trying to work around, some hindrances on offense, you know, with Kirk Cousins and his ceiling and in a very leaky offensive line, a run game that couldn't get going because of the offensive line and because of the fact that Dalvin Cook wasn't healthy for, better part of, good part of the first half of the season. So they struggled there. And I think that, down the stretch after the Bears game, when there's too much volume allegedly in the offense and then, New England, the usage of Dalvin Cook came under question again. It all boiled over into that really bad performance that we saw on Monday Night Football in Seattle.
We 2 years before that, Norv Turner didn't work for Zimmer, and now DeFilippo didn't work for Zimmer. Is there any thought that maybe it's just really, really hard to work for Zimmer if you're an offensive guy?
Yeah, I mean, that certainly is something that people bring up, especially because he's a defensive-minded coach. He wants what he wants. He wants balance, which in today's NFL is not something that, is all that talked about as, a necessity to win in this league. I mean, you take a look at the top four scoring teams in the NFL, all four of them are playing in the conference championship weekend between the Patriots, Saints, Chiefs, and Rams. So, I mean, there are a lot of teams, too. All those four teams are teams that don't necessarily need to be balanced to do really well offensively. So I think that it's part offensive philosophy and not seeing eye to eye on things. I mean, but, with what Mike Zimmer wants, I mean, he's the head coach. It's his prerogative to decide, how he wants his team run. But I do think that when you take a look at the big picture here, Zimmer's been incredibly successful since he got to Minnesota in 2014 because it's the basis and the mentality of these teams are defensive-minded teams. They, he wants to win games by the offense doing just enough and controlling the clock and controlling field position to make the defense's job easier. So that being said, I think it is something that you have to take into consideration when you're looking at, the entire body of work since 2014. The fact of the matter is, Mike Zimmer's had two offensive coordinators leave in the middle of the season, one who was fired and one who left on his own via resignation. So that comes into play. But with a guy like John DeFilippo, I just don't think it was the right fit here in Minnesota, really from the start. I'm not sure that the melding of philosophies really happened. But he's still, a very much well-revered offensive-minded head coach. And, it's come into the fact that he's had two interviews for offensive coordinator openings within the last week.
Yeah, and we're chatting here with Courtney Cronin. She covers the Vikings for ESPN. She's our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Cardinals on Sunday, and Gambo was the one who reported that the Cardinals interviewed John DeFilippo for their vacant offensive coordinator spot. That's kind of leading into the question I was going to ask you. I mean, and in some ways it's a dumb question because he's still unemployed right now, but how much of his future stock was damaged by getting fired in week 14. I mean, this time a year ago, you would look at John DeFilippo, and if you were even a casual NFL fan, I think you'd think, okay, that guy is a rising star in this industry. He will be a head coach in no time at all. And here he is just trying to find an OC job with a team that has a play calling head coach as it stands. How much of a hit do you think his stock took with what happened?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, he was one of the, up until about, you know, week 12, when they beat the Packers, they put up, you know, over 400 yards of offense. They finally get the screen game going. Dalvin Cook gets a touchdown. Kyle Rudolph's involved. You know, his name at that point in the season was very much, okay, if they can keep things, you know, rolling here, you know, split between the Patriots the next week and, you know, try to sneak a win on the road in Seattle, then he would still, I think, very much be in the mix for a head coaching job. But I do think that what happened in Minnesota hindered him, because you fire your offensive coordinator going into week 15. That's the biggest news in the NFL. That's not something that you can hide and just kind of hope that the news cycle continues on and that he can just kind of, you know, go with the fray at that point. I mean, I think it certainly took, you know, took a lot out of what he had accomplished at that point. And that's not to say that he won't be a head coach someday. I just think that, you know, the way that things happened here in Minnesota and the discourse that we heard from the head coach, I mean, you never heard John DeFilippo say anything bad, you know, or try to counter anything that Mike Zimmer was saying. I think that he took, you know, took his lumps, essentially, and dealt with it the best he could in Minnesota. But it definitely hurt him and it hurt his stock, because I know that there were several reports that came out, I believe, ahead of the Lions game in week 16 that really, you know, confirmed that he was no longer a head coaching candidate.
Courtney, was there any, and I can understand maybe he didn't get along with Zimmer. Zimmer wants to do it his way. He wants to run the ball and play good defense and be conservative on offense. But was there ever any friction between him and Kirk Cousins? Was there any friction between him and the offensive players? I think that's important, because if the Cardinals do hire him, he's not calling plays here. That's going to be Cliff Kingsbury. Yeah. He's going to be an offensive coordinator that's probably going to have his biggest role will probably be developing and mentoring a young quarterback. How is his relationship with the offensive players, especially the quarterback?
Yeah, and that's something, that's a good point that you bring up, because I've spoken with several sources close to, you know, the situation with where Flip could potentially end up. And I don't think that calling plays is necessarily the end all be all for him. Would he be able to do it in Jacksonville? Yeah, but do you want to potentially go to Jacksonville and what could be a 1 year situation and have to uproot your life again? I mean, that to me is the downside of that job. But, you know, if he does get the job in Arizona, no, he's not calling plays, but he gets to do what he's been really, really good at throughout his career, which is developing young quarterback talent. I mean, truth be told, I mean, it all started with Derek Carr years ago when he was, you know, a rookie with the Raiders. And then he, you know, got to Cleveland and he had a really weird situation there with Josh McCown and Johnny Manziel, but then, you know, found his bread and butter of, you know, being able to turn around, you know, really develop quarterback play when he got to Philadelphia, you know, moving Carson Wentz from year one to year two, and just seeing the strides that he made there, I think were really impressive. So that's something that I would keep in mind when, you know, talking about him for the candidacy of the Arizona job. But to, as it relates to, like, Kirk Cousins, I mean, he and Kirk spent a ton of time together. I mean, John is a quarterback guy. I mean, he was a quarterback himself. That's a position he understands best. He's worked with them throughout his career. You know, 12 years in the NFL kind of speaks for itself. So I think that that's something that, you know, really can't be ignored. I mean, he, you know, Kirk Cousins, I think when you look at the big picture here, as to whether, you know, Kirk cost people his jobs, I mean, I think that that's possibly something that you could say when it comes down to it, because, you know, like I said, all the play calling in the world won't change you from turning around and throwing a pass 2 yards behind you because you're seeing ghosts in the pocket. I mean, that's not play calling. That's on the quarterback. And I think that John did everything he could to get the most out of Kirk. He, you know, tried to scheme around some of the weaknesses that this team had on offense, some of the injuries that had to deal with. And I think that he really did earn the respect of his players in doing so. But you also, you know, when on the other side of that, I mean, once the switch was made to Kevin Stefanski, you did hear players say, okay, well, things are more simple now. Things are, You know, we have a different grasp of stuff under Kevin Stefanski than going back to stuff they did in 2017 that seemed to work. So I do think there was a little bit of a divide there, but certainly nothing where the players didn't respect him or didn't respect what he was trying to do.
Courtney, we appreciate the time. As always, thanks for joining us. Stay warm up there, and we look forward to talking to you in the future. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Courtney.